Dakota County Board of Commissioners meeting Tuesday, May 26, 2015, at 3:02 p.m.
Always under the board.
I call on the floor our commissioners meeting in the morning to play the legion.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, and indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Call roll, please.
Tony?
Here.
Scott?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Here. The current copy of the Open Meeting Act is posted in the west wall near to the entrance of the county board meeting room and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. Consent agenda items. Approval of the previous minutes, May 11, 2015. Approval of the payroll claims. Approval of the accounts payable claims. Approval of the official reports. Approval agreement renewal number GH1121 between Dakota County and Nebraska and Department of Roads for Weed Control Services effective June 2, 2015 to June 2, 2016. Approval of the resolution 15C-09 approving chair to sign the 2015 fracture critical bridge inspection agreement between Dakota County, Nebraska and the State of Nebraska Department of Roads using soft match credit for county estimated cost of $2,651.70, excuse me. State inspection assigned to Chairman Association Incorporation. Approval of the resolution 15C-020 to increase the over expended budget for the county for the office of the county court of $1,500. Approval of resolution 15C-021 to increase the over expended budget for legal services by $30,000. We review the payroll claims, we review all the accounts payable, and Scott and myself, and everything seems to be under control, so everything looks okay. So I need a motion to approve the consent agenda items.
So moved, Tony.
I'll second it.
Moved by Commissioner Love and seconded by Commissioner Bousquet. Consent agenda items. Call roll, please.
Scott?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes. Motion carried. Now we go on the new business. Item A. Approve or not approve to renew or negotiate a contract for grant writer Kevin Canner for 2015-2016 budget year. Kevin.
Got a couple pages for you to look at, hopefully discuss here.
Thank you.
Item one, talking about where we are immediately on grants, a couple of decent-sized ones from Health and Human Services, a small one from NERMA coming up this month or in June, COPS grant, and also what we talked about previously, the electric car. I've got information on that as well if we want to go down that road too. Number two, those are programs that are out there that the county would qualify for. So I guess what I need help from the board is some direction or some specific projects that meet those criteria for those grants. So there's a number of them that we could potentially qualify for. We need mapped out projects that score well. And that kind of leads to Section 3, second page, what a project needs in order to score well for grants to be funded. I just use as an example, like the electric car, innovative technology, obviously electric cars are just coming out basically in the last few years. Grants score well with partnerships if you involve other organizations, other units of government, if it's a public-private partnership. In the case of the electric car, that's a Nebraska Community Energy Alliance, which is a number of communities, possibly 15 or 20 across the state, have gotten together to apply for these grants. Third, a public need or benefit that benefits the environment or reduces fossil fuel use, public safety, those types of things, and that usually benefit a target population. So as we kind of brainstorm on this, I guess I'd ask you to keep that in mind, those criteria, so you can make a project that works. In the case of vehicles, the electric vehicle works because of those criteria. Another regular vehicle for regular use may not be a good fit for grants. If we look back at the total scoreboard over the last year, I think it's significant that when I started, I proceeded that I would handle grants exclusively for the county. As it's played out, there were several programs that were retained by other staff. And so those are programs that either have been applied for, have been funded, or potentially will be funded. Things like NEMA, Nebraska Crime Commission, and the Department of Environmental Quality Tire Grant. So if we could include those numbers in the work that I did, it may be somewhat of a game changer. So having said that, how things evolved that way, my focus was more on economic development along with the grant focus. And that's where there's a number of things that I'm excited about as far as economic development. We got some excitement and some things going with dairies locating to the state. If they're a large dairy, they bring $300,000 of property tax per year. You get a significant portion of that. I think it's worthwhile to focus on things like that. Any questions on what I've shared so far?
The first paragraph here, or the first page, line one, the grants, are you active in all those grants that we receive? I mean, how much work did you put into it? I'm sorry, how much time did you spend?
You know, as far as strategizing, Tiffany and I sat down and worked through different things on bringing good information to the project. I guess what I brought to the table was an example of a funded grant in the past. We brought in a statewide survey for minority health care. Those things, I think, beefed up the application. So if you look towards the back, Tony, there's some of the line items that she and I talked about on both the immunization grant as well as the minority health grant. Just kind of an outline of the bullet points that are some of the things that we talked about.
Okay. Board, had any questions for Kevin?
Kevin, we've hired Deanna now full-time with the county. And with that, I think we'll expect her to do her fair amount of grant writing. I guess my question to you, would you be willing to do this strictly on a percentage basis? Our work with you until some point in time, I think we'll probably, maybe will or will not, we've never talked about it, but hire someone as a economic development person.
You know, I guess as we sit here today, I guess I'd be willing to consider different options. You know, and you're aware of this too. If you look at some of the other counties, you've got Cumming County, Holt County, Wayne County that have got either a person or a staff and invest a decent amount of money into that. So some of that, even though you've got budget constraints, some of that is an investment.
I understand.
You know, where it's kind of tough. And we had talked about with some of you about running my own business. When things are slow and things are tight, that's when the theory says you double down and you invest and you continue to move forward. So, you know, I guess I always like to, as far as the fee structure, to have something on a baseline basis and then some incentive. So if it has to be exactly what we have now, I think I'm open to suggestions, but I see where you're coming from. You got to use the resources that you have as efficiently as possible.
Exactly. You know, and that's one change that we've made since hiring you. And that will be part of her directives to write grants.
Right. And as far as the Livestock Development Act, LB 175, that would potentially pay to do some of the work that I've been doing on site selection, zoning, attracting, recruiting dairies, networking in the industry, those types of things. Talked with the second in command at the Department of Agriculture this morning. LB 175 was passed, but they don't have any money for it right now. So you've got, you know, the potential was you could apply for up to $15,000 grant to defray some of these costs and up to $200,000 for infrastructure if you wanted to improve a road or put in a culvert or something like that. So I was hoping that they would, you know, beginning of the fiscal year, have some money available, but we've got about 2 weeks left in the legislative session, and as of right now, they haven't allocated any money for that.
I can see the need down the road for an economic development board, county board. Sosley does their, and they do a good job, but we need something as a county, I think, and a director along with that. That day should come. You know, when you miss out on Triumph Foods to your neighbors, you know, that kind of hurts. And I think we've got a horrible location for it. I think we could offer a much better location. I you know, with 10,000 hogs a day coming in there and going in that congested area, I think, I can't believe they didn't put it down at Fort Neal. But I think we have areas that would work much better if we could sell ourselves. You may be the person for that. I don't know. But you need to keep your foot in the door. If we could do a percentage thing and try that on a trial basis for a while, maybe 6 months or a year or whatever, would you consider that, I guess?
Let me put some things together. I guess that could be not only grants, but if you got added, did something that added to property tax or something like that.
Exactly.
You've got an agreement with South Sioux City kind of on the same,
I know it.
Same thing. But you know,
well, we do and we
total
don't.
Results, total results based.
We don't have any input on their TIFs, you know. That TIFs me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It does. It's just not fair to the county. I don't think.
Well, those, I guess on that, those questions are coming up about that, and so at some of these seminars I've been to, I got a sheet here. This Mike Bacon is a lawyer from Southwest Nebraska. He deals almost exclusively in TIFs, or a lot of his work is in TIFs. He talks in here, if you look at his picture and his website, dealing with 40 communities over the years, and he didn't start this last year. He's been a lawyer for quite some time. But I would think that it may be worth it for you guys to either get him here or to at least schedule a conference call and ask him the tough questions. You know, if you can't control whether there's a TIF or not, at least you might have some idea on how to maximize the benefit or minimize the
effect.
So I guess there's a resource. You know, was at that dairy summit a couple weeks ago, and he's been to some of the NEDA things, the economic development organizations meetings over the years, but he might be somebody to really ask the tough questions. He's on the other side of the state in Gothenburg. When I talked to him, I said, well, he might make it a point to come up here, but we haven't talked for a while yet. But I think as it relates to that, he might be a good resource just to ask him some questions.
Yeah. Did anybody
but I still think that we need a grant writer. And, you know, it takes a qualified person to do that knows the ins and outs and knows where to go and find those grants and then is capable of writing those grants specifically. And, you know, Deanna's great with emergency management type grants and stuff like that, but I don't know that she would have the knowledge to do a road grant or an ag grant and fill all that out and find out. And possibly she could, but I hate to lose the expertise that Kevin's got and the connections that he's got to do all those grants. But I'd like to see maybe some proposal from him too. So
now, in order to drive the economic engine here and increase property taxes? Does it make sense to reach out to your existing business owners with a letter from the commissioners saying, thank you for doing business in the county, and by the way, if you're thinking of expanding or growing your business somehow, we can maybe help you with some of the things, show you the loan programs, possibly some grants. USDA has grants for business on the renewable energy side. Maybe that's something of interest to them. Our little business in Allen, I think I've got a 25% grant for a 6 kW rooftop solar deal. So just kind of a sure little thing that is out there. And so that might be something that your existing business owners would be interested in. If we get them some money, they build something, it generates property tax. It kind of helps a return on investment for you guys in, you know, somewhat tough circumstances.
Mm-hmm. I think I agree with Bill's thoughts, also Rick. I mean, both make sense. Yes, we got this new person, you know, that Diana has a little knowledge about grants, you know, not as much knowledge as you do, but you know that everybody can learn. But in the same talking, you know, I'm more inclined to get an economic development person in the county. Grants, they're there. I mean, they're viable. Is there any way that we can work things out? I mean, you can work on their percentage of the grants that you get. And, you know, I mean, we're trying to, you know where I'm coming from. You know, I mean, we got this salary that we don't have. And what are you willing to do for the
well,
or keep
you so your fiscal year ends June 30th,
right?
I know you're
right.
Needing to answer these questions.
Right.
If the next, is it too late to 2 weeks from now?
What do you think?
Give you something.
You know better than that, and as far as the budget.
Well, we're meeting June 2nd, 3rd, aren't we?
Yeah. First and second, we're meeting.
With the department heads to go over their budgets, so it'll give us more of an idea where we're going to be. But
and that'll take some time to plug in all the numbers as well, because they're just going to present their budget to us. Is basically what they're going to do, and then we'll meet back with them again and fine tune things if needed.
So it's not going to be enough time to June 22nd meeting, right? I mean, to have any.
Well, you got that 30-day notice.
Oh yes, you're right. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Well, so I guess when's the latest? I mean, is it possible to meet with a couple of you if you sit down with the department people that day, June 1st or 2nd? Does that work for you?
What do you guys think?
Does that crowd you too much?
We're meeting in the mornings, aren't we? Both mornings, Monday and Tuesday.
There's a couple slots open.
Is there? Yeah, can we just get him in a slot, in a time frame, and then...
So is there just like a couple of you sit on the budget committee or something?
And then Joan. Okay. The three of us.
Well, I could just give what I'm thinking to you guys. We could talk about it right then. That would speed it up, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when you're talking about right away next week.
Yeah.
Monday or Tuesday next week.
So.
Monday has an open slot at 8:40, I think.
And that'll give you some time.
Wait,
and okay. Again, what Bill's saying, what Rick's saying, and Tony's saying, I couldn't agree more. It's just the way that I look at this, and I know grants might be tough for counties, unlike, you know, the cities or whatever the case may be. And I think what we're just looking at is, you know, the salary part, you know, it's budget time. Is it cash loan? Does it make sense for us? We don't know. You know, would it make more sense, like Bill said, you know, just to, you know, keep you active on grants at the same time of just giving you a percentage, you know, once they're found. Now, if I'm not mistaken, a lot of the grants here that you've had your fingers into that are pretty much existing grants, like Tiffany or the sheriff's departments, among the electric car one, and maybe it's just tough going for grants right now, you know?
Well, I think that, you know, I have a bar chart that shows the federal level. It kind of spiked up during the recovery, you know, a little bit, and then it's kind of either leveled off or slightly gone down. And then probably statewide, what we noticed, and this is right after I started with you guys last year, community development block grant, which, you know, you use to do some infrastructure at the ethanol plant going on 10 years ago, $60,000 for roads or whatever. Now, that, they changed the way that they do the low to moderate income statistics, the percentage of low to moderate income. Back at that time, you were 74% countywide, I think, low to moderate income. Mm-hmm. And then this last time, they used a different demographic study, and you're down below, like you're at 44 or 45%. You're supposed to be at 51%. So that's raising the bar on that. In one circumstance, we had a community that had that exact same problem. The median household income was higher than the state average. So we had to do, it was a town of 100 people, so it's not a big deal, but we had to do an income survey, an independent income survey, which actually said their income was substantially less than the American Community Survey data. It was just one more thing to hop through. And then here, you guys have a much larger community, but in the case of an ethanol plant or job creation, the low to moderate income is who the jobs go to, not so much the overall low to moderate income percentage-wise, but who the jobs are created for. So in order to get the CDBG for an ethanol plant, 51% of the jobs have to go to people with low to moderate income.
So okay. What's the board want to do?
This is what I think we should do. Okay. Obviously, we can act today, mm-hmm. either approve or not approve. Okay. What I would like to do, because we can always renegotiate this next week or once we come to the next board, if we got to give a 30-day notice to get us at the end of our budget year,
right.
Okay, I think maybe what we need to do is to not approve the contract until once we talk to Kevin. That'll give us in our 30-day window, okay, before the end of the budget year. And then once we talk to him next week, if whatever the terms we come to and we bring back to the board, then at that time then we can decipher. If we want to, you know, if we're going to go with another contract with them and renegotiate or, you know, the fees or whatever we need to do. Does that make sense or not?
Uh-huh. Yeah. We still need to get the criteria for 30 days notice, right?
Does that make sense, Joan? Bill, anyone? Well, add any thoughts to that?
Sounds good.
So,
and then we'll just.
So, is that a motion, Scott?
I'll make that motion. Yes, I'll make that motion
into a motion, so that way there'd be.
I'll make the motion that for the time being that we will not approve the contract for the grant writer, okay, for the 15-16 year budget, all right. And then, like I said, next Monday or Tuesday, whatever works for Kevin. And we'll sit on the talk, and he can go back to his drawing board and kind of, you know, do some thinking and figuring out the percentages. Okay. And then, you know, okay. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Second.
Move by Commissioner Scott Love and seconded by Commissioner Rudy to extend the overlook. And
in that way, we can reevaluate everything.
Yeah, and exactly. Evaluate the whole. So we need to call roll, please.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Does that make sense, Kevin?
That's fine. Yeah. I'll see if Monday morning, Joan, is that 8:40 you said?
Yeah, I'll give you a time. I'll
okay.
email you.
All right. Okay. Now, it looks like we talk about the COPS grants one or two items down the...
Yes.
Do you want me to talk about it now, or do you want to cover something else first?
Let's figure it out, yeah.
Well, I'll be here. It doesn't matter how we want to do it.
Let's get over here.
We got beat out last year by, was it Omaha, Lexington?
Yeah, there was a Lexington one and an Omaha one.
And then Walt Hill or somebody had one.
They did not get funded. So, this actual budget here is what I asked the sheriff for an update. This is what I sent in last year. And so reached out to him a while ago on what the numbers would actually be. But if you look at the green line, that's cost to the county, and so you can see that's split between the county and the Homer school system. So the grant pays a maximum of $125,000 over 3 years to have a resource officer present full-time in the school system at Homer. So the last three pages are just information sheets on the program. So this is what we used last year for budget numbers. I have not heard anything back as far as how they would change. I would expect they would be fairly close. But probably the big thing is that year four, if you accept the money over the first 3 years, year four, you've got to keep the program going on your own funding. So there, that's where your cost jumps up in
for
year
how long?
Four. Just the one year. Year.
For that fourth year?
Yeah.
Then after that, one can make a decision. Either you get the grant money again, or do you want to...
Right. Right, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. So that's due, I think, June 19th. But there's a memorandum of understanding. I think we'll just get it updated with the Homer School from what we did last year, some updated budget information, some updated financials of the county, and get it electronically submitted. But the big thing is right here as far as the fiscal impact.
Have you talked to Homer School yet at all? Probably not.
Have you? Are they
on board again?
Yeah, they're on board again.
Good.
They updated their numbers in terms of their different populations of students that they have and how that's changing. So, yeah, there's a good discussion going back and forth there.
Well, hopefully it works out to our favor this year, right?
We'd like to think so. We talked with the people in D.C., and they told us we basically needed to implement more programs. So a while ago, sat down with Penny and talked about which boxes we checked last year versus which boxes we're going to need to check this year, so we can squeeze a few more points out. It's basically where that flexibility is.
You know, and I think it's very important. I mean, I sound like a hypocrite, because the last time we were in the basement, probably 3 years ago, when this came back around, Bill and I was totally against it. But at the time, him and I and Joan was on that budget committee, and he pre-warned us probably 15 minutes before the meeting. And at that time, you know, things were in terrible shape, our finances. So we, you know, as much as we hated to at the time, but I think it's important that if it does happen, that it's a good thing.
But I guess if you want to do anything on the electric car, that's about July 1st. We probably have to make a decision on that too.
Yeah,
we talk more about
it among ourselves and see what we want to do it. Because I think we need to use the money. I mean, I don't believe in letting it go. Thank you, Kevin, for all the information.
Appreciate it, Kevin. Thank you.
Appreciate that. Good information.
We
want to move.
Do you need a motion on that?
No, it's just information, right? Well, we need a motion on this?
Well, it says approve.
Yeah, we took an action on previous business, so I think we're okay with this one. But, yeah, we don't need nothing. No.
We do need to take action on it.
For
this COPS grant to approve the FAST.
Oh, sure, yeah.
I would move to make the application for the COPS grant.
Okay, I see. We jumped to C.
I'll second it.
All right. I'm with you.
Thank you. So, motion by Bill and seconded by who?
Greg.
Call roll, please.
Dick?
Thank you, guys.
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Thank you. Discuss and take possible action regarding a second exit road to be built for the residents of Mills Beach area.
Okay. The railroad has been contacted. We talked to this Markworth, and he thought that the idea was a good idea to go along the north side of the railroad tracks. But he has to go to another person higher than him to get that done. Haven't been contacted back from them yet, so we're going to recontact them again and try to move things along. But we're going to have another crossing put in, so that's where it's going to get tricky. But I think it's possible. I'm not going to say it's a done deal or anything, but I think it's possible. If they would let us shoot out onto Highway 77, then it'd be a done deal, but the state won't allow that. Found out that going down along the north end or the east end of the field, just here a year or so ago, they put a natural gas pipeline in there.
Really?
Yeah. So it goes all the way down along
there. They got an easement there, I suppose.
They do. Now, you can't cover up a gas pipe with a... You can't cover up a gas pipe.
Okay.
You can have the gas pipe moved at your expense. So I ain't saying that couldn't be done. We just have to move further out and things like that. So, but that's what we've found out so far. The rail was blocked here about 2 weeks ago, and I did go out, and I found out that they were fueling a train on H Avenue. No containment or nothing. So I made a few phone calls, and I don't know if someone got And then I had Joan get a hold of the safety crossing guy, so we don't know. I've never got a call back. So.
Was that 2 weeks ago?
Two weeks ago.
What happened today?
No one called me today. But if someone.
1 hour. 1 hour they had it blocked.
And if you would call me, if someone. I can't go out there and sit.
911 would call.
All right, and they do
the
not like.
The law enforcement was called.
Right, and they do not have any jurisdiction over the railroad. They can call the railroad, and I did check into that. It's better if you call, like myself or Fred, and then we can go out to the deal and actually visit with those fellas.
Well, the deal with the railroad crossing, when I was working out the plant, when they built that new road, that paved road.
Sure.
To go across. And then the railroad wouldn't let them go across because you could only have, the railroad has to be, they can only have so many crossings per whatever. And there was a big stink about it, so they wouldn't let them open it for a long, long time. And then they had to shut one off to open the other.
I see. Stuff that we'll find out. But we're working on it.
There was individuals, I was going into town this morning about 10 minutes to 8. And the train had it all blocked. There was cars backed up on the four lane. They had them on the southbound. They must have been backed up just about to Heritage. And same way on the northbound lane.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, one of the individuals on our side stopped and talked to me, and he said it has been blocked for an hour. And I got up there just about 10 minutes to 8, and I sat there until about 10, 12 minutes after 8.
They were blocking both Mills Deep and 77 block.
Yeah, the train was going to the east. And for some reason or other, it had blocked for over an hour.
Rick, I don't think going back across the tracks is an option because they block the whole thing. When they block it, they block it.
You know, I question that. You know, how far when they block it, do they do 77? Do they
block the highway, usually?
If they don't block 77... they have to go beyond where I want to cross because the signal lights still flash. So they've got to go to a certain point so the signal lights quit flashing. So we could get a crossing in there. It's just getting them to do it.
Okay, what's the options of taking over? We got roads all over out there. Albanese's got a road on the north side, and they got roads going west. And everywhere the roads, trucks go everywhere, but we can't go. What's the options of taking over one of those roads? It's on the section. It has to be on section lines. Probably not surveying because they've been underwater until I was out there and still underwater. You've not been out there 50 years and there's still water there.
Well, that would be an eminent domain issue. And there's, you know, we'd have to get a petition and a lot of stuff going there to get.
It'd be simple. It's there. The road's there. I mean, and but the gas line you're talking about, they just put in last. They redid our gas lines out there last year.
Mm-hmm.
Put that in there. Well, even option going straight north from E Avenue has a gas line and a water line under that road.
Okay. Is it directly under the road though?
It's right.
Because they won't let
they put it.
They may have in the past let you cover up a gas line, but they won't let you cover it up no more.
On the road.
On a road.
Right.
They'll let you run, you know, in the right of way.
That road, that gas line hasn't been in that long. They changed all of it last year because they said it was deteriorating so bad.
Yeah.
The whole thing. I couldn't believe it. I mean, it's plastic pipe, I thought, forever, but it's not forever.
But we are working on it. I don't know if there will ever be anything resolved with the railroad. If we can get it resolved with the railroad, I'd rather do that than do condemnation on other people's properties.
Right.
So I'd like to try that first. And then if we can't, then I guess we'll have to go with seeing if we can find a section line to put a road on.
With an hour block this morning, where you're talking about crossing back across the railroad track and getting on 164th?
Right.
That would have been all blocked this morning anyway.
It would have.
Yeah, because we were blocked.
But they were blocked.
Our main road getting out, and the train was heading east, and they had the whole four lane, and that was all blocked too.
They've become different the last.
And it's going to happen more often because it's the cheapest freight there is, and we're getting more stuff out to Western O'Neill or Western Nebraska that those trains are going to be on. So we'll let me work on it some more with Fred, and we'll see what we can do done with the railroad, and if we can't get anything done, then we're going to have to go north.
I think what Rick says makes sense. You know, if you be, you know, you've been patient enough, just believe me. I mean, and if nothing can be done, then we're going to look into it, the possibility, you know, to get a road done from Albanese, from whatever case might be, and we have the county attorney look into it, you know, the line of property, that, you know, the legal thing to do it, you know, because we can do it, but we need to find that.
Since I've been commissioner, we've never tackled that condemnation deal. And I know it can be done, but as the county has probably done it in the past, maybe 30 years ago or something, to put a road in, but
we want it to be our last resort. That's what we
do.
I think we did it on the second bridge south of Homer. Mm-hmm. I think we did a pride.
Storms. We did. Yeah. Yes, we did. We had to take some of his property.
Yeah.
But that was just a sliver along the county road.
Acre and a half or something.
Right.
The train blocked Homer last week. 5 cars from getting out of the way, and they stopped. My neighbor got upset, drove out to the engineer, said, if you pull ahead 5 cars, it's out there an hour. Homer traffic can get through. He said, well, I'm waiting for my shift change. I can't move. If I move, it'll be a fine. And it's disgusting, you know, that you can't do that. And I know you guys don't have another way. We have other ways to get into Homer.
Right.
But still, people get down to Homer, and they have to go back north again to get, you know, it's just a...
I want everyone to put yourself in that predicament. And just see your busy lives. Every one of you got busy lives. You see how it would work. You're ready to go somewhere.
It wouldn't work very well.
Right. It wouldn't work at all. I mean, Marty can get out. He goes out. I don't know how he gets out.
Well, he's got his own little road.
He goes another road. We all have roads, but we don't have a road. Mm-hmm. We can't drive through the property. I mean, you don't drive through people's property. I wouldn't for nothing. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, you know, it doesn't make any sense to me. It should have been done forever, but when I moved out there, you know, there was nothing going on, and the elevator was moved in on us. It was not supposed to be there. It was supposed to be over by IOB at that time. Well, they moved it over there because they got, I'm thinking, basically because the tax structure on the Homer School District was a lot less than South Sioux at that time. The whole elevator, but the office building is on Homer School District, and the office building in South Sioux. Because they kept moving them west. It was supposed to be over where you're farming now, and then pretty soon it's over here, and then pretty soon it's further west yet. So they just kept moving them west.
Mm-hmm. How often, when that is blocked at your entrance, does it go clear to 77? The train. I mean, how often? Well,
most time they don't block it highway very often, but this other road they do. They block it mostly because they block it half an hour every time a load comes in or a train comes in empty, and it's half an hour. When they're loading and unloading. When they hook the train up again, it's a half an hour. And it goes, I think the last hookup, when they're loading out, is across the highway. You know, but that's just across, and then they back up.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think all of us will understand your concerns, and it's been gone for a long time, you know, since I've been a commissioner. So let's... Rick, if you can get into it, you know, as soon as you can. I know you're real busy with planning and stuff like that. So
I think what Fred and I need to do is we'll contact the SmartWorth again, and then we'll look at the second option of which way we can go,
right,
and if we have to condemn some property, what would be the least offensive way to go, you know. Let's do that. Let's see if we can get two options. We'll work on it.
Okay, and then you can sit with Kim.
And then if the railroad don't let us, then we'll go with option two. And
I wouldn't even consider the railroad. I would have nothing to do with that. I mean, it just, to me, they're just, you know, I just don't know.
And every time we come in here, we'll do this, we'll do that. It's an option. We'll look into it. We'll do that. How many years? Not months. Years have you been saying that? Different commission people, you know, you all know it needs to be done, and we'll look into it, blah, blah, blah. Now you're saying it again, and how long is it going to take? It's as simple as that. It should be, boom, done.
Should be moved.
Yeah. There's going to be people that don't like you no matter what.
It is. This is a position that you're not going to make everybody happy. There are going to be people happy, there are going to be people unhappy.
Right.
I think what Rick's saying, I think just for those landowners out there, for us to go through the chain of commands
and
of dealing with the railroad. Well, they should be.
Okay. And we will, like I said, we'll work on it.
Can we have them here with a meeting? Have them here?
We will contact, let Fred and I find out what the avenues are of getting, and which is the section line and stuff. Let's find out who we got to go contact. If it's Marty Hohenstein or the Deb and Kathy Wilkerson, Jameson. See who we got to contact to run a road north. Maybe we'll have to go across Larry Albanicious. Oh, maybe we'll have to cross Cargill. I don't know who we got to cross right now, but we have to find that stuff out, and I'll guarantee you we'll get the job done.
Well, see, our survey starts from the northeast corner on the survey.
Okay. Did you just hear what he said? He said he'll guarantee he gets the job done.
I will. I'll work on it. Fred will work on it.
Right?
I'll work on it this week.
I'll circle the calendar on this.
We'll see you in 2 weeks.
You know, like I said, I hope we can have a solution right at this moment, but I think we're going to be serious in this business, and I'm going to kind of remind Rick once in a while, Rick, I don't want those people coming back.
Not that we don't like it, we don't mind seeing them,
because I don't want you guys.
Now, this is the first time that I've had to tackle this railroad and this crossing issue. I've never been involved in it. So I will get it resolved.
Is that related to...
Yes.
Okay.
I've been hearing all of you, and this is what I hear you saying. I think we have a point of consensus here, and you have this as a possible action item. I know you have a lot of avenues you want to investigate. Can you at least resolve that you will get these people an alternate access today?
I think Rick just did that.
Yeah, Rick just said that.
But it wasn't a motion. You didn't vote on it.
I don't think that...
We can't. There's nothing on the agenda that will last. But if it was on the...
It's a possible action item.
You know.
That you will get them an alternate access.
And it's got to be a permanent road, not a temporary. This is permanent now. We're going to be using it every day.
I guess we can. There are reasons we can.
When you mean a permanent road, that if you don't want to go down to 164th, you can just take this road?
We have to have one where nobody has a lock for the gate.
Right.
Yeah, we can't go that way. You can't have a temporary road and then have an emergency and call the county and come out and maintain it so you can get out in the wintertime, or to maintain it so you can get the ruts off so you can get through it in the summertime. It has to be maintained all the time. It has to be used all the time.
I had a team for Larry's gate for 2 years.
When
I went and entered it, it went north. Well, I changed locks. He won't give me a key for the other one. He don't give keys out no more.
I got the same thing.
But all the other gates are locked. He can't get out anyway.
Well, Mr. Chair, what do you want?
The thing of it is, here on the agenda, that's what I'm trying to read it here, is the second road. Is that what we want, the second road? I mean, because other than that, I mean, we need to...
A second exit road.
With the railroad exit, we're not going to be able to guarantee anyone that this is going to be blocked when 77 is blocked.
Right.
And railroad won't let you do anything.
Right. And I'm not going to... I don't think for us to take action is appropriate to do like what Sally has said right now, not knowing where any section lines are or where any roads can go.
Shot in the dark.
That ain't going to work either. So I would say, let's move along, and Fred and I will work on it this week, and we'll see where we end up and go from there.
That's not because we can't, you know, we just cannot do it. I mean, it's not an agenda. Yeah. We need to put on the agenda.
You know, possible to me means yay or nay, you know,
right,
type of a deal. You know, I'm not, if it can be done, if somebody's road, I'm not going to have possible. I'm going to say take action. For a second exit.
That is not an agenda. So.
So instead of waiting, I think what Rick's trying to say, instead of waiting to hear back from the railroad, I think they're going to look at option B.
How many of you on the board been in the Mills Beach just drove around.
I've been down there.
Oh, I know you probably have, sure.
Yeah,
I've been there a lot of times.
I was in there with Pat Engel and resolved a road issue with him here, was it 2 years ago?
Well, you shut off a road for him.
Well, it was a road issue.
Yeah,
you know?
See, we had a meeting years ago with the roads that are down in there. We had some individuals that wanted to put the roads back the way they were originally plotted.
Oh, I'm sorry, Billy.
And everyone out there came to me, and we resolved that they will stay as is. I know the county boards, when they come out with a grader, they don't really appreciate some of the turns and stuff and going around through there.
What are you saying, that the roads have moved over the years?
After the flood of 52, and then maybe it was even prior, the roads were like that. I mean, they were just...
Where they are plotted on the county map, they have never been there. Where they are is where they have always been. But we come in here, some of the neighbors wanted to put the way they were plotted. But it was voted down, and I might add, saved the county a bunch of money for not putting it the way they were plotted in the original. But Mary, Loretta Ty was there, and she told us where the roads are now are exactly where they were before the flood and after the flood. They were never where they were plotted on that
map. Those roads that are down in there aren't the issue that we're after.
No.
But we saved the county a lot of money back then.
Regardless. Mr. Chair, let's move on. I
think we got to get moved with our agenda. We totally understand. I know you probably think that we're going to be playing with this for the next 10 years, but believe me,
I'll work on it. I will.
I will push the commissioners to follow up on that. Thank you very much for your concerns.
Thank you.
We're going to move. We move one step ahead of us with the approval of the CAPS FETS grant. So we are already done that. So we're going to move item D. Jeff Curry is not here, isn't it? No. Well, we need to have him here. So we'll move with Ted Pipel. So if he showed up in the meantime.
Good afternoon, Board. I'm just required to give you my report on the election that we just had. Homer School, there was a total of 1,179 ballots sent out. I think each one of you have this report in front of you. Total number was returned of 673. 670 were counted, 3 were thrown out. Not thrown out, they just weren't counted because of either an overvote or an undervote. And there was 127 that was returned to my office undeliverable. 24 ballots after the election were returned. And the total cost of the election was $3,896 and some odd cents. So,
$3,896.81. Okay. Thank you. That's right here. Thank you.
And with that, I just conclude my report.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ted.
Thank you. Thank you. We want to move with. Item A, miscellaneous. Fred Kellogg, superintendent, report.
Road report, May 10th through May 23rd. 351 total hours of road maintenance. Overtime hours, 18 and a half. Aggregate, 3,363 tons. Section inspections, weed complaints, 3.5 hours. Weed spraying, 31. Sign repair, 16 hours, 7 signs. Road concerns, grading, Lake Iwana, L Avenue, 160th. Perry, Elgin, and I. Gravel, Omaha Avenue, L Avenue, and 160th. And there's probably a few that I missed that I got personal and didn't go through the office. Mm-hmm.
So with this much rain, you probably have quite a few roads to work in, don't you? Keep you busy, yeah?
Dry weather would be appreciated. So.
They were in tough shape, and we did get a lot of calls.
The slow rain, for as long as it did,
yeah,
I mean, it was just hard on roads. It wasn't like it was a hard, you know, packed rain. And I know Fred and I both talked to some other elected officials and superintendents from other counties, and they have the same exact issues.
I had a concern from Sawmill Road, right before the curve, right before we did turn to Meyer Pallet. Is there something you can do on a big hole after a big mess? Nothing? I mean, there is nothing. You throw a rock, probably disappear in the...
Yeah, I just became aware of it today, too, Tony. I haven't looked at it, but I will.
Yeah.
Right there past the truck washout to the south, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Around the corner?
It actually just started in this last rain.
Yeah.
Is when it,
and I can see why, you know, with those log trailers coming in, you know, from the pallet company, and Scott knows it, you know, he says, you know, this is probably our problem, Tony, but it is really bad. It's really bad. One of the drivers of lumber, he says he had a broken spring or something, so... it's just a concern. He was not really pissed off by any means.
I have not looked at it personally, but it was brought to my attention by Commissioner Love.
Yes, look it up. Thank you. Thank you. Any more questions for Fred? Thank you, Fred.
Thanks, Fred.
Tiffany Paulson, Health Director for Health Department for report. Tiffany.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
What?
Something positive.
Yeah, I got a lot of good news. So that's good, right? So housekeeping stuff. We had our board meeting on April 23rd, and we had a lot of people absent.
Dad?
I'm just kidding. Our budget was at...
I called, did I?
Yeah, you did. Was at 65% use. It's on track to be utilized before the next quarter. Planning-wise, we're still working at finalizing a couple grants in our Medicaid billing. I did all of our home health evaluations, which we're on track for that. We have 6 patients that we're currently being seen. Grant updates, we submitted third quarter BT and got 11.5 back for that. And that grant cycle actually, with the help of the state, is going to be changing. So right now it's set up as far as they reimburse us for about 10 deliverables currently, but they're going away with the deliverable. The Department of Health and Human Services for the federal government wanted us to go away from that. So now we're going to be expected to do action items on about 15 capabilities. And so with that, the state strongly recommended that we hire an ERC. So we went ahead and hired Nick Walsh part-time. Well, he's working about 32 hours, and so he's redoing all of the updates from our emergency preparedness assessment and trying to get that more to a place that the state wants to see it at. It's just kind of been one of those things that just kind of got pushed to the wayside and stuff, and so he's working pretty diligently on updating that for us. They also did inform me that any remaining funds we had from 2013 would take away those remaining funds from our next grant cycle if we didn't use them up. So we're going to kind of use some of the recommendations we got from the assessment plus Nick's wages to kind of eat up some of those dollars so we don't have as big of a funding crisis when it comes to the next grant year. On immunization, we submitted first quarter reports. We had 10 full-day clinics, 11 half-day clinics, 5 evening clinics, and 11 adult clinics this quarter. We vaccinated 288 kids, 881 shots, 13 adults, and 29 vaccinations were given to them. And we are expected to receive back just a little under 7,000 for immunization this quarter.
Did your night clinics go well?
Yeah, they are really picking up. So we do them on Thursday evenings every other week. And now we've seen a lot of our afternoon appointments drop off and everyone picking up the night stuff. And so we have a little bit of... space in between about 1:30 and 4, but where people are kind of a little less likely to fill in those slots, but the night clinics have definitely picked up. West Nile season, we're in full swing now here. May 1st was our start date for that, so we get about $2,400 a season for that. We're going to start trying to do some more key spring to like actually events and trying to get people the most bang for our buck, so to speak. So spray around, like if we're going to have baseball games or things like that where they're going to be outside and just be more intentional with spraying. We launched our Network of Care website. So if you go to the county website, you can find it through the health department. It's just the Network of Care website, which is has a lot of different information about medication and different, there's a symptoms checker on there, different health articles, blogs. If you have different types of health conditions, you can see all of our county health indicators on the website. We're kind of doing it on a trial basis to see if it's something that we want to pursue and continue to have longevity in. Medicaid, we've officially completed all of our administration red tape with Medicaid, so we're officially on board for billing for Medicaid. Now I'm just doing final contracts with Aetna, which is the provider that holds all the Medicaid contracts for the state of Nebraska. New stuff, we officially got our minority health grant, and so that's for 2015-2017, and it's $181,462.40. And majority of that covers personnel, salaries, and benefits. And so we're going to be transitioning the two community health workers that are currently working for Northeast Nebraska Public Health Department out of South Sioux Public Library will come onto our payroll, as well as the addition of an additional 32-hour position. And let's see. And then we also talked about signs for the outside of the building because we want to see a sign go up there. And I talked to Scott a little bit, and we've decided to put that on our July agenda. So we're doing some more research on that and trying to get...
I was going to ask when you guys meet again.
Middle of July.
Did the sign guy contact you?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Nope. And so we're going to do some more research and try and get some better numbers.
He contacted me.
Did he?
Yeah.
Okay.
So once you guys give me the green light and we'll get an estimate.
Okay.
I can imagine no more than $400 or $500.
Okay.
We'll let Rick put it up. Okay, I told you, didn't I? Put an aluminum panel with the sign up there, yeah.
Just the vinyl.
Yeah.
Didn't you originally have one that wasn't even lit? She originally told me this price. It's like, you need it lit up? Well, that wasn't lit up.
So I originally had two quotes from different sign companies for a 4x6 and a 4x8 sign, and they ranged from about $2,800 to $3,400. No lights, like no fancy things, and it was just ridiculously overpriced. Yeah. So.
Okay.
We're going to put that on the July agenda.
Keep me informed on that, would you?
Yeah. So, and then we had a board development training that we were going to do in collaboration with Elkhorn Logan in Northeast Nebraska, but it got canceled because of the avian influenza in Dixon County. So.
Any questions for Tiffany?
No.
Is Wells going to work for 8 hours a day?
Right now, he's still just working on 32 hours until we get through our plans where the state is comfortable. But Deanna has talked about him picking up the additional 8 hours with her to help her with the LEOP and all that stuff, yes.
Yeah. By the way, Deanna's been in touch with me almost every day. You reported what she's been doing. You know, she's really busy, and they've been doing a lot of things out there with this quarantine and so forth. So
I just wanted to know if he's going to go 8 hours with her.
Yep, that's still in the plans, and so I think we're going to slowly transition him over to be able to assist with that. Yep.
Any more questions for Tiffany?
Good report.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Tiffany.
Thanks.
We're going back to the agenda. Hold on one more second. Sorry about that. We're going to go back to the new business, I think. New business. Jeff Curry, Ghani's Essence. You got money for us.
Thank you, Tony.
Thank you.
You know what, Joan? I didn't bring them. Did everybody get a copy of the letter from the state?
We've got it.
Yeah, we got
it. Okay.
Go ahead.
So, basically, I think we're getting to a point, and I guess what I was going to ask the board to think about and see if you would help out with is either have the board reply to that letter for me or maybe talk to Kim or have Kim's office reply to that. It's really, that letter is the fourth one we've received. The first three dealt with our commercial parcels, and I think we pretty much addressed all of that. And we've got the guys in-house working. Now it's kind of moved on to the residential. And my biggest problem with that letter is they set a deadline of June 20th, and there's just no, without spending extra taxpayer dollars and bringing people in right now working full time, there's no way we're going to meet that and be able to put together the kind of statistics and the report that they're looking for on a residential property right now. And really, they're asking us to correct 10 years of problems in a month.
What do you want a letter from us?
It's not be unreasonable at all.
Yeah, they're out of hand. I mean, we're trying to keep a good relationship with them and do, you know, staying within the statutes and things like that. But at this point, it's getting ridiculous. I just got to, actually, we're halfway through our print job. We're sending out, because of these letters, right now, 8,768 change of value notices in this county.
How many?
8,768. The most I've ever seen is 2,400. So I have no idea how many protests that's going to be, but for every protest, that's more money we're spending. And it starts June 1st, so they want us to comply with that letter right in the middle of the largest protest season we're ever going to have, by far.
So, yeah, how was this initiated? How did they come in here and look over your...
It was the same audit that we got in it must have been early July of last year. I'm trying to remember. Because we were still in the basement on folding tables, I know, when they came in and went through the system. And then this one here, they took us, they dug into it a little bit more. You know, they took the county to Turk, or not, I apologize, the assessor's office to Turk on that 5% increase. And I, you know, we told them no, and we fought them and said there's a reason we don't want to do it now. We need to fix the system and take a look at some things. And when they did that, they did a 10-year audit and a bunch of other stuff. So
did
I'm not
saying. Did they actually want to look at the rest of it?
No, they, as far as I know.
How do they determine whether you're undervalued or overvalued on some of these?
I'm still working with them to figure that out. As far as I know, they don't have wheels on the ground anywhere. I mean, they come into my office.
Yeah, but still.
Other than that, there's no.
Just walk in and say 5%, boom.
Yeah, and not this class of property, or, you know, not just, you know, we want ranch houses between 1970 and 1984 over 1,200 square feet, which is how mass appraisal works. That's how everybody should be doing it. You might have a mass increase that's 2, 3, not 6,500 parcels at one shot.
I know something that possibly may have spurred this thing is Lance Hedquist has said that he thought that values were too low.
I've actually been told that by the tax administrator.
Right.
She had her attorney call me because he keeps calling her.
So Lance wants more value so he can get more money into the city coffers. Well, he's causing this.
Money, yeah.
And it is. And we're already spending money. I think we're okay on the budget, but I'm spending money now. I don't know what the mailings are going to cost, but you figure 46 cents a letter for 8,000 letters? We're already over 4,000. I mean, that's not, there's paper, there's envelopes, there's time. So this is money we didn't think we were going to need to spend this year. And the more, and this work here, there's a ton of hours in it. I'm not saying some of it we don't need to do, and I'll communicate some of what, because we're doing everything they're talking about, and they know that. Mm-hmm. I've worked with their liaison, which is kind of bothersome, but that she's not, I don't know who the measurement manager guy is. I think it's Mr. Donner who signed the letter. I'm not even sure what his role is at Lincoln.
Measurement manager.
I don't know what that is, but they've got one, I guess. We have a lot of tapes. I mean, if he wants to practice, he can come in into the office.
Unless the board wants to do it.
But I don't know. It's up to you guys, but if you can...
Do you want us to write a letter to get an extension on this thing?
Yeah, basically, I mean, I won't even be able to address that with them until July 24th, because that's the date we have to wrap up protests.
So if you were to write your letter to send it, is that what you want? I mean, it's...
Yeah, I mean, just to get it, because I'm going to ask them for an extension, but I already kind of hinted around, and I know it's not what I'm going to be told, but...
You think coming from us
would be better,
leverage for you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's fine.
Yep.
We can do that.
So that's what I was wondering or hoping we could do. And maybe let them know. I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to make sure you guys see everything that's happening to the office, and maybe they'll know now that we're all paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's time for them to let us do our jobs, I guess. Because we are. I think we've made a lot of great steps. We've done a lot of good things. They've slowed us down with this 5%.
Yeah.
Which we're going to have to fix next year, but... We can do that. And I didn't know, you know. Well, I'm sorry, Tony. The only other thing I wanted to see, and I kind of hit on it again, and I don't know how we would put it in there, because I mentioned it once in a conference call with them, and maybe that's why the 10-year audit happened. But I tried to explain to them, I said, you know, the county board, this was a state-run office. For these years you're looking at,
right.
The county spent good money to you to manage this office.
Sure.
So if you had problems with it, why are you now hitting us in 1 year? I mean, over the course of 11 months, want us to fix 10 years of your management?
Mm-hmm. Good point.
So I don't know how we would word that, but at some point, you know, they're fiscally, I'd like to send them an invoice, but I know we can't do that. But at some point, it's like, hey.
Well, it don't hurt to use some proper verbiage, but
yeah.
To point out that it was their office, and now
exactly.
We are working on correcting right. issues that were
they're
supposed to be handled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we'll do so, but it's going to take more time than what they've given us.
Exactly.
I'll make a motion to respond to this, write a letter, and...
For extension? No.
Yeah, for an extension.
Okay. We need to second it.
I'll second that.
Move and you second it to make a letter for the Department of Revenue to extend their request. So call roll, please.
Bill?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you for your time. Item C under miscellaneous, discuss and possible approval of the Dakota County crisis leave policy. Jeff, can you help us a little bit on that, on this crisis of the leave policy? I mean, I know that the county clerk doesn't not want to administrate it, just...
I'm sorry, was that for me or
Jeff?
No,
Jeff.
Oh, good.
Get up here, Jeff.
Well, different people.
Do you want the policy? Not the policy.
They experience different hardships at different times. I don't know that the county should be responsible to resolving each and every individual employee's hardship. I certainly sympathize with any and all hardships, but to administer from the personnel side, I think there's an issue here that is not a positive issue. It is for their side, but I don't think it's for the county. I think it could be costly. I think the problem would be administering it, because any time you're dealing with changing payroll records, you're talking about manually changing computer program information inside. And when you do that, you lose any kind of an audit trail from a computer standpoint. And I did check with the insurance company to pay her extra pay. Even coming from an employee would certainly affect her insurance, which she's receiving 2/3 of her salary right now. If she receives additional salary, it's certainly going to affect her long-term disability. I don't know to what extent, because they wouldn't go through that with me. They didn't have a positive scenario that we could put forward. So there's some issues way behind the scenes that would affect her in other ways if she were to receive additional benefits. I sympathize with her situation, and you know, if these employees would want to put on a benefit, I'd certainly help organize it. I'd be involved in it, and that may be the way for them to proceed. But that's my 2 cents worth.
Sure. County pays for the long-term disability policy for each employee. It's about 60%, right?
She's receiving 60%
of her salary.
Or a little bit less. She's still working part-time, I think, 15 hours a week.
So
it's probably prorated to that.
I'm sure. Okay.
You know, there again, that kind of shows that her benefits are being adjusted for extra income. So,
sure. So what's the board place one wants to do? We need to take an action on that. for possible approval or whatever. I want a policy or no want a policy on this.
Pamela Bourne had nine questions for you guys.
If he wanted to actually create one.
Like create one?
You can create one for the... Did you guys read this?
Yeah, they're all, I mean, great questions, you know, right. Just things that you gotta...
If you want to create one, I mean, it's really up to us.
You know, I guess I don't have a problem with if someone gets sick and another employee wants to, out of the goodness of their heart, give them their vacation or sick leave, but the paper trail that's going to leave and how you adjust all that is one of the concerns I have. You know, and then, you know, the compensation part.
Sure.
I know we've had this issue come up other times, you know, when employees have wanted to donate their sick leave or their... I don't think it's something that's impossible. We just got to figure it out. And if we want to have it in our policy. But I guess I'd need, you know, Kim to tell me the pros and cons of how this is all going to work out.
Yeah, could you put a little bit on this, Kim?
Actually, all we need to know are these questions, but that is only if you want to actually create one. I mean, we didn't work out pros and cons. Some of the issues are, would it be sick time, would it be vacation? And she did list some reasons rather that you do using vacation time rather than sick, that kind of thing, but that's only if you want to have that policy.
So if we were to allow employees to donate sick time or vacation time, we need to answer that question and then put that in our policy handbook, correct?
Well, you would need to decide which you'd want to use. She said that studies have shown when employees donate vacation rather than taking it, increase in work comp claims, higher risk of burnout, attitude issues, you know. And so the ones that she has worked on before and put together, they normally do sick time for those reasons.
And I could see that working better.
Which would not be cost neutral to the county. That would be the county. The
county would be footing the bill totally. And I understand that part of it, too.
Okay.
Go ahead, Ted.
Normally, union contracts are not opened in the middle of the contract. I mean, you have a contract from A to A. Both sides is fair. Hey, you've negotiated. That's
we've got
one coming
up right now.
Yeah, we do.
One way.
One's coming up right now.
If this is a particular one, then you're probably open, but it's really not normal to open contracts in the middle of the year because you're opening up a whole lot of things. And
I don't want to do that.
Yeah, that's...
Well, can't you just open up for this in particular issue if you wanted to? I mean, if we did decide to go this way, it ain't like you got to open up the whole contract, can you? The other two contracts are due in 2 years. It'll be up in two years, yes. I mean, I think it's a good idea, but you just hate to create a lot of animosity on everybody, you know?
And I just hate to... I'm with Kim, you know. You give up your vacation, and you've only got a week or 2 weeks, and you get the burnout factor, and then someone creates another issue with their job or is burnt out to the point where they make a mistake, and it opens us up for more liability, you know.
It's not an Indonesia, right?
Yeah.
We can't be the first county faced with this. I'm sure there are other counties that have policies in place already.
Yeah, they're the ones that she's worked on before.
I guess, could we view those and see how they read and see if it'd be possible or practical to use those as a pattern?
Well, that's what she would do. Hmm. But before she would put it together, if you want one put together, she would need these questions answered.
Okay. We couldn't view it before. It's just always good to
you
have.
You want to say something there?
Yeah, we had this in Sioux City.
Did you? Okay.
Yeah, the way the program worked was it was once in a lifetime. You know, you couldn't do this more than once. It was vacation, not sick time. And the reason we did vacation time was we had a pretty good sick leave program and the number of hours you could earn. So it really doesn't cause the bleeding.
Right.
But you give me vacation time, you can find your friends over, right?
Yeah.
So, and they limited it to 3 days. No employee could give more than 3 days vacation. We had a pretty good vacation program, too, because when I left there, I was getting 25 days a year. So 3 days wouldn't hurt a lot. But 3 days. And in the Ted point of the bookkeeping nightmare, it got to be the nightmare because each person that gave their vacation time gave it at the rate of pay that they were getting. So you got 200 some city employees participating in it.
Yeah.
You're all over the pay. You know?
Yeah.
So the only way that would work in this case, I think, is say you're going to get it at the rate of pay that you're receiving. And I think if you give, I would say go with vacation, but limit the number of days that a person can give.
And then you give days. And some people are working 10-hour days. Some people are working 12-hour days.
Yeah.
That's 8 hours.
Yeah, nothing simple about it.
Some people are making $17 an hour, I'm making $28.
Yeah.
It can really be an administrative nightmare. Because you got to keep
track of it. So, what we need to do.
Tony, let's just table it and. Let's do some reviewing and let's visit with some other counties and see how it's worked for them and then go from there.
David, bring it to the future meeting or next meeting or just
hey, bring it to our put it on the agenda for the next meeting.
Well, I agree with Commissioner Busquet that we probably need to table this until we find more information legally, and I think there's a lot of issues we need to look into it. So let's table this for the next meeting. Thank you. Thank you for your input. Thank you, Terry, for your information. Really.
Let's just move it to the next agenda.
Move it to the next agenda?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay. And then we need a motion to...
No, we don't.
No. Oh, okay. We table the next meeting then. Okay.
No.
No, we won't table it. We'll just put it on the next agenda.
Help me out. Thank you. It's hard for me to understand.
Hey, keep up the good work. You're good.
Thank you. Now we're going to move on to Commissioner's Committee Report.
The Dakota County Public Safety Committee / Fund people. On the 12th, we met. And our next meetings, what we're doing is we had four engineers / architects that are going to be coming in on the 8th and the 9th. Monday, Tuesday night, we're going to meet with two a night, and they're going to present everything, what they can do. We have questions for each engineering firm. And then from there, and then we'll probably narrow it down to what we want to do. And I don't know if each entity is going to do something different, if we're going to try to get it all. You know, that's one of the questions that we're going to try to get each engineering firm to maybe try to give us a deal and do all three. And then also we've been talking about the bonding, who's going to bond. You know, that in particular board has the authority to bond the money. And the attorney, this Laura that did the interlocal agreement in Omaha, Joan and I questioned and called her and did the county to bond that money because we have what do you call it, Joan? A project fund? A line item set up or whatever, where the sales tax money is going to go into the treasurers anyway, and then let them disperse the money. So, I don't know. It was brought up if Dakota City wanted to bond the money. I don't think any of the board members are real comfortable. If we got to revise that interlocal agreement where someone else, there's seven of us, and I think it could be a county nightmare and having us write the checks out of there. Yeah. It just sounds messy to me. I don't think anybody on that board wants to do that. So we got to find out. I know Joan. How we leave off with John Tracek? He wanted to know the dollar amount.
This gal was going to see if it was even
possible.
Possible.
Well, and I brought it up at the last meeting. You know, maybe we need to revise that because, like I said, no one was comfortable about that in particular board, and we got a lot of authority to do things.
Sure.
But we just—I don't think anybody's comfortable with us doing the bond and then, you know, having the checkbook of $5 million or whatever and start writing checks and this and that.
What she didn't know was that if the county handled the money.
You mean the treasurer's office or what?
Well, it comes into the treasurer, but it would be Ted's office again. That would be writing checks, and it would be in our, it would be a department in our budget in order for us to
bond it,
and then it would be county taxpayer people working on their sales tax bond project. So would that
be
would that be acceptable? Because
why can't they bond individually? Here's my concern. 15, 20 years from now, Dakota City comes up short. I mean, the sales tax money didn't come in. Then it's one bond. Everybody's responsible. This way, if Homer bonds, you know, less, and their money's, they're covered, but Dakota City isn't. I'm just using this as an example.
Right, I understand.
I think it should have to be separate.
So
for that reason.
Small bonds. Not small, it's only a million.
Maybe
it's when we built the jail, the county bonded that out, and the county was responsible for the bonds, regardless.
Right.
So, if those fire stations bond that out on themselves, is the county still backing those bonds?
So. That interlocal agreement, we said yes.
So we're in.
Along with them.
Right.
So we're still,
they'll be first. They'll have to cover it first, whether they can.
Well, yeah, then they're not. They have no income, no tax revenue.
Homer has $35,000 a year. That's not very much. When you get $1 million bond.
They did pass that legislative bill this year to allow fire departments to levy.
To levy, yeah.
If their county has a 40-cent or higher levy or something like that.
And to let a fire department levy with already paying $90 an acre property taxes is not going to sell well.
But I think it is got for every village to be responsible for that bond.
I don't know. There's a lot of questions. I know that Laura's going to come to one of our next meetings.
I visited with Scott a little bit, too. And throughout the jail project, you know, we ran into things that were in the ground that we didn't know were there. So that was a change order. We ran. Well, who's handling change orders? You know, do they have a construction management team? Because we did. You know, and they, you know,
some of the proposals state that, if not all of them out of the four, but I think there was two out of the four that they would manage that. You know, being a project manager.
Yeah.
You know, they follow it from start to finish. You know, some of them are capable of doing it, and some are not.
But there's still going to be costs, and then you know you get different construction crews on things, and yeah, we did this. You got to have someone to prove that they did that project. You know,
and I brought that to your attention. That they need somebody to oversee everything.
Hold this wire, or yeah, I had to do.
We all have jobs, you know. At least most of us do, and where you just can't go out and look, and we don't know what we're looking at anyways. You know, so.
And we had.
It's going to be interesting.
Jerry Johnson.
It's interesting.
When they did the jail, they had a guy that was here full time, this Patrick, and he watched every move that everybody made. And he
had to print 10 phone calls a day, did you?
I was there frequently.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Because you were ramrodding that deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, just hope they're all conservative when they set their bonds because. And you'll have some input. We'll have input on that, I'm sure, at some time.
Okay. Anything else, Scott?
Do we have an LED?
No. Not until next Tuesday. The 9th, excuse me.
I can't remember.
Any more committee reports? If it isn't, one thing that I want to mention, that the LB-10 or Senator 610, excuse me, LB-610 or Senator not support the override, and each one of the commissioners got to cheat that what they're going to bring every year to the counties, which is the total we're going to get at the end of 2020 is $186,855 a year. So it's not a...
That would be annually?
Annually, yes, sir. So you can look at that chart and figure that out. With that, mail and emergency business. I don't think it's any. But I will go. Public comments. Anybody from the public want to come on the phone? State your name for the record, please.
David Rasmussen.
Dave, thank you.
Tony, I'm a 45-year continuous member of the American Legion. I'm 11-year member, commander of the post in Auburn. Yesterday, Memorial Day, and our Homer post, we go to 5 cemeteries every year to honor all our fallen dead and pay respect to them all. And I had been told that the roads would be taken care of, graveled, so we could get to all 5 cemeteries. Well, yesterday was about like a slap in the damn face. That we have to go out, plow mud to get to these cemeteries. The people that come to the cemeteries for the services is totally embarrassing. Everybody running around in mud all over the pants from getting in and out of vehicles. We had a young Navy cadet member flew up from Florida for a 3-day pass to spend time with her grandfather. And in Navy whites that went around with us to do our services. And that's embarrassing as hell to look at that and see all that mud all over her pants. And like I said, I know somebody had talked to you, Fred, about putting gravel on and taking care of that.
Yes, we did. We tried to, as you know, it rained all last week. We tried to grain gravel
as
best we could.
I know. But
what cemeteries did you go? Which ones did you
go? We started the Catholic Cemetery there in Homer. Uh-huh. We go to Taylor Cemetery, Hale Cemetery, Green Valley Cemetery, and Omaha Valley Cemetery.
Okay.
Those are all in the Homer Hills area?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, that weather has not been cooperative.
Well, it's probably goes beyond. I know it's been raining, and of course there's absolutely nobody in the Homer area happy with our roads anyway, because we're not even close to enough gravel on any of them. Mm-hmm. Even on Main Road yesterday, we had to put a four-wheel drive on Main Road to get uphill.
Yeah.
And
it's
uncalled for, you know. And like I say, it's sort of a slap in the face to us veterans. They have to go through that, and the public shouldn't have to go through it either.
I totally understand.
And totally embarrassing, and it hurts. And thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thank you. Robinson, I appreciate it. But, this is a concern, but unfortunately, the Mother Nature not really in too good favor with us. So,
it rains here the other day. It's tough.
Anybody else from the public? If it isn't, the meeting adjourned.